So glad to have you back with us at GoldSeek.com Radio. And my featured guest, he's advised clients now for over 30 years, editor, chief investment strategist. Welcome back, Bob Hoy.
Good to be with you, Chris. I tell people this is the most exciting time in at least 400 years to be in vertical in the financial markets and alert to what's going on. And by vertical, I mean being alive and alert, and also within the political markets. And I'm emphasizing, Chris, that it is a political market. There was a huge experiment in authoritarian government that ran through the 1500s and into the early 1600s, and it was the same thing, in your face and in your wallet bureaucracy, but it was backed up by a strong religion. And then the public sort of realized that, hey, you know, an ordinary middle life is okay, and we don't have to suffer all these rules and all these taxes. And it was very difficult to throw off, but in the early 1600s, in England, they started to make some headway. The comparison is that in England then, you had Archbishop Laud as the head of the Star Chamber, which was like a special council today, and with virtually uncontrolled power. And if you weren't of the right stripe, you got investigated, and if you didn't behave yourself, a good amount of your estate would be confiscated. But that was not as bad as in Northern Europe, where state murder was more extensive. But anyways, with the Star Chamber, they controlled, well, they were trying for a monopoly on the media, but the middle classes were becoming more prosperous and more independent. So they then started publishing pamphlets and stuff. Archbishop Laud didn't like it and banned it and could threaten the printers. So what did the middle classes do? Well, they got them printed over in Holland, which was a much freer country. And then also the government in England had the state religion of Anglican and all of those pulpits. So they really had a lock on the media. And this is where it's important today, because you've had the mainstream media, which is supposed to be independent of government, but of course, like Pravda, it became part of government. But what is happening is that the public has developed a means of communication, the internet and everything else, talk show radio and television, to get around the state monopoly, and it's working. And I have a sense that this week, Chris, that with some of the evidence coming out from the IG, that the tide is turning. I think back on maybe 200 years of parliamentary history in England, Canada, or the United States, and there's never been an example whereby those in senior positions in important agencies like Department of Justice and the FBI that became involved in the political process and first of all tried to make sure that Hillary was going to win. And then the shock of all shocks when she lost and Trump came in. And since then, and this is the evil part, they have deliberately tried to depose a sitting president. Now, remember that I'm sitting here in Canada talking about this, so it's more of an outsider's view. But this is also the other part, which is an exciting time to be in the marketplace. And to go back to early October, our view was that everything was going to get bubbled, like stocks and bonds and commodities and everything go up, and that there might be an important high around December, January, and the S&P and the Dow and whatnot set their highs in January, and then you had a bit of a sharp hit to it. So then the next phase of that would be a recovery out towards May or June, where we are now, and that this recovery in the stock market would be assisted by some favorable moves in the credit market. So you've had credit spreads narrowing, which is the difference between high-grade and low-grade bonds. And you've had the yield curve flattening, which is the difference between in Treasury's long end and short end. So these are two positives, and they're very good, and they're helping the market. The other one is that industrial commodities would be firm. You had one of the best rallies in a decade in, no, sorry, not as long, since 2012, I think it was, in lumber. Outstanding rally. And maybe, we had a piece out on it last week that showed the overbought. So you've had that one, and that's a plus for the stock market. Then also you've had a good rally for crude. It's up to 72, higher than the last high, and has been acting well. A pretty steep rally, actually. Then also the oil stocks, the XLE has been rallying well. And then the other one of the industrial commodities that have been acting pretty good have been the base metals, but they really were recovering since in the winter, and then had a sharp spike up in April, and then a spike down, and then have been holding it. So these are very helpful for the overall stock market, but where you've had crude and lumber making very good new highs, the stock market isn't making new highs, except the Russell small caps. They've been acting well. So anyways, let's wrap it up this way, Chris. The stock market is up when it should be. The support for this action from the credit markets has been working, and support from industrial commodities has been working. So we're making our targets, and we're now watching for excesses whereby these hot items could be sometime perhaps after August. So I think one should be looking at taking some money off the table over the next couple of months, you know, on the rallies.
Only one of my other key guests is remaining bullish. There's two. There's Martin Armstrong, of course, the forecaster, and then you have Louis Navalier, two of our favorites. But as soon as the markets roll over a little bit, the stock market, that is, U.S. equities, it just seems like the naysayers cannot contain their negativity.
The blockchain and Bitcoin thing will continue to advance in technology, and it will continue to spread in usage. And it is a big one, and as you point out, it's a step towards privacy. And this was, with the last reformation, was to get the government off out of your life. I'm really convinced that it's going to happen.
It's all about, as you said, transparency, efficiency, the absolute elimination of bureaucracy and graft. Tim Draper here pointed out it's the frictionless activity. $19 million transaction in Bitcoin, and it only cost, if I have the number right, about 68 cents, and it was nearly instantaneous around the world. The article pointed out that if it were done through Western Union, it would have cost $100,000 and taken 2 to 3 days at least.
Yes. Now, what people are saying that this excesses and the political turmoil going on in the U.S. is the end of the U.S.? It's the end of the bureaucratic socialist experiment that's been conducted upon the U.S. and in England and in Canada and in Europe. But then Europe has always tendency to be more socialistic than other places. But I'm so excited about these times, Chris. The changes as it happens, and it's wonderful. The public will demand also a currency of relatively constant purchasing power. The only way they can get that is if they can keep the hands of the state and economists off it. And so somewhere within the Bitcoin thing, we will end up with a sound currency that is very liquid. And that's what society needs. And the public will demand it. Well, let's say the markets will demand it. I'm the optimist, but about society changing and getting rid of the experiment of authoritarian government that's run for almost 120 years. So Chris, it's very good times.
Are there any markets that look positive that you'd like to share? Maybe you might improve listeners' portfolios.
I'll tell you a real safe place where you'll make a little money is the investment-grade corporate bonds in the U.S., 3 to 4 year maturities. You can't lose anything on it. And if you're going from other currencies, the Canada or Europe or Brit, into the U.S., you'll end up with currency play with the U.S. dollar going up as, you know, giving you a good bang for your investment. If you go too long in the fixed income, you can get hit by price. If you buy some risk stuff, you get hit by risk. So that is a thing that's a nice place to be in a storm. If you're in other currencies than the U.S., then gold would be the good place to be. You've got to have some for insurance for a financial storm that may appear in the fall. So, but other than that, to try and pick a stock sector or within that a stock, very difficult to do. So what I'm suggesting is where you're going to be confident and where your money will be looked after. If you're too, like the T-bill rate is up now, if you go short and buy T-bills, that rate can go back down to zero again. So you don't make any money there. So as I say, 3 to 4 years in good investment-grade corporate bonds in the U.S. would be a decent return and a safe place.
Do you see anything on the horizon that might imply that the status quo could be disrupted in a very large way?
Yeah, it is a popular uprising that if it uses the electoral process, which it has, and in your country the popular uprising now has an executive, that is going to dismantle the deep state. And it's hard to believe now, but it's happened before. For example, in Eastern Europe in the 89, a popular uprising took down the Berlin Wall and then eventually ended communism, and they had to face down a police state that had been murderous. But on that one, they almost went for Kalashnikovs and tanks, as with perhaps in Prague, the Prague Spring in 1968, was one where the state became murderous. Now, on this popular uprising, which using the electoral process is legal, it's moving against an attempted coup against an elected president, which is illegal. So it can be called a rebellion within government, treasonous. And also, what's going on outside of government, the popular uprising, is a legitimate reform. And the reform will win. I'm 100% positive on that one. It has happened before. As I said, early 1600s. And it was very difficult. And you don't want to read about it in Northern Europe because it was bloody. Whereas in England, it was less bloody. They had a civil war. And that is what's going on now in the U.S. The authority is losing public support. And the reform movement is gaining public support.
But do you worry that socialism could creep in?
That's been on for over 100 years.
Peter Schiff sees a similar scenario playing out here domestically and in the Western world. He sees a different end result. He's nervous that socialism could fill the void.
This is a reform movement. And whether you call it socialism, communism, syndicalism, Chartism, they've all had their names, Nazism, fascism. It's all for an authoritarian move. Now, here's the one, Chris, that really clears it out, because when I say that the excesses of the Democrat Party should be reformed, I'll be accused of being a fascist, a Nazi, or right-wing. But if you have a very good definition of authoritarian, then you point out the fallacy of that view. An authoritarian system is within an authoritarian system, that which isn't compulsory is prohibited. Now, that was the goal of the communists, it was the goal of the Nazis, and it's the goal of the liberals ever since the 1960s. They want to run your life, so they do that by prohibiting certain things. Google Bob Hoye, B-O-B-H-O-Y-E. We're changing our website now, so you can't get us today, but maybe you can get us in a couple of days' time.
Very good. Thank you, Bob Hoye.
Okay, Chris, anytime. Good to talk.